We're not going to move far from that central theme this morning of the gospel. I want to highlight some things for us, and I'm particularly mindful at the moment, beginning of the year, but it's not particularly connected to that, it's just true. And I want to highlight some things for us, just hold something up, and we're going to kind of set that up a bit before we get there. Well, I just want to hold something up. It's a simple thing, I think it is a significant thing. I think it is a significant thing for us as a church, as a company of people. I think it is a now thing in terms of emphasis and in terms of moving forward. And I was particularly encouraged, I'm going to share this with you, I was particularly encouraged this morning coming to church of the confirmation of the word this morning. Our friend Sudha sitting over there, we picked her up on the way to church this morning. And she was in conversation in the moment with her parents in India and got into the car on the telephone chatting. And then after a while that came to an end, and then she just she wanted to share with us something that her mother in India had said. And she felt, her mum in India felt provoked in the moment by the Holy Spirit to give a verse to Sudha to give to us as we're driving along on the way to church this morning. In a moment, the Spirit of God. Different countries, different continents, same God. And she gave us a verse from Luke chapter 4, am I right? And verse 18. Everything that we're going to talk about this morning is built around that verse. It's where we're going to start. We're not going to move away from it. We're going to use other scriptures. We're not going to move away from it. But what's contained in those in that verse, those couple of verses there, that is what God has given to us as a word this morning, confirmed by our sister in India. Aren't you grateful that God is bigger than we are? She had, sort of, as mum didn't know, we were picking her up this morning on the way to church, and she just moved in obedience to the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful. God works in these ways, and we just get to enjoy his reality. It's wonderful. So we're going to get to that. I'm going to build to that point in a minute, but just be confident that God is speaking to his people in his church. He is a speaking God. And he speaks and he's faithful. And we get to hear him and go with him. So I'm going to step back a little bit from there. And I just want to highlight some things that we began to talk about at the end of last year. And we did kind of like a little bit of a series, and at the end of last year we were thinking about spiritual disciplines. We referred to it in that way, spiritual disciplines. I referred to it as keys to contentment, because I prefer that. Why? Well, the reason why I refer to it as keys to contentment is because as we grow in our devotional life, in what people can refer to as spiritual disciplines, as we grow in those things, and our relationship with Jesus grows through those things and through time with him and connection with him and moments with him deliberately. Pate was praying about this deliberately and on purpose. And we grow in relationship with him. And so we find in that place of growing relationship with Jesus Christ an increasing reality of contentment in that place. Why? Because we were made and built for that, for him, for relationship with him. And we find our most settled place of reality in relationship with him. And our awareness of him, we can grow in our awareness of him. And we can do things that help us in our devotional life. And our awareness of him and of his presence and of his activity in our lives. And we can kind of get active with that. Oh, here's a plug. Today, there begins the men's Bible reading, read the Bible in a year. That starts today. So, dozen guys have signed up for that. Nice. Any more want to sign up for that? Feel free. It begins today. It's not too late. Read the Bible. That's got to be good. We've talked about that. Read the Bible. But this is the point. We grow, and this healthy devotional life grows, and so does our awareness of and contentment in Him. And we've thought about different things: reading the Bible, prayer, quietness, praise. And we are seeking to grow in these things on a daily basis. This growth in devotional life is not just for ourselves. And this is where we're going this morning. We highlighted this, I highlighted this when we began to think about our own personal devotional life and relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's this background awareness. And it's this, that it is not just for ourselves that we grow in this way. We need to grow in this way, but it's not just for ourselves. The more we grow in closeness with Jesus, the more we grow in closeness with Jesus, the more we are aware of His heart and His purposes and His calling. Amen? This is testimony, isn't it? This is your testimony, and it's my testimony. The more I am aligned with Him, I am aware of Him, I am hearing Him, the more I am aware of His heart and His purposes and His calling. And He's got a big heart. And He's got a big heart. And so all of the background, in a sense, of thinking about the spiritual disciplines, about our own personal devotional life, is that we would be attuned and sensitive to the heart of God. And in short, we are increasingly aware of, and here it is, aware of and concerned for the lost. Amen? We are. There are people that the Bible refers to as lost. Lost. And they are spiritually lost and destitute. And there are those people, and God has a heart for them. So here it is. This is the verses that I'm going to read, and we're going to read others. And this is what was confirmed this morning. And so this is the Lord Jesus' famous verses of Scripture in Luke chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse 18, these couple of verses. And it's the Lord Jesus at the beginning of His ministry, and He stands up and He reads. And He says this, and He's reading from the book of Isaiah. And He says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Is upon us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He anointed me to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel to the poor. To preach the gospel to the lost. To preach the gospel to those who are in abject poverty. That's what that means, the poor. It's not just talking about financial wealth or lack of it, although that might be involved, but abject poverty, spiritual destitution. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me that I will preach the gospel, that I will preach the gospel to the poor. And He says this: He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Amen. He has sent me, He has sent you to preach the gospel. And that's big and that's broad. And it means all kinds of things. But here it is. He has sent me to preach the gospel. We're going to move now. This is Luke and chapter 19. Look, things are coming up on the screen up here. This isn't a New Year's resolution, but it's helpful. Luke chapter 19. I'm going to read this. And I'm going to do this to a few scriptures. You can read around them at another time if you want to. I'm going to have to pluck them out. They stand within context, but they also stand alone. And here's one of them, and it says this. For the Son of Man has come. He's come to seek and to save that which is lost or was lost. The Son of Man, he's come, and he's come to seek and to save the lost. There's a lot in that little verse. He's come to seek and to save. And he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let me read this. This says we're going to move now. We're going to settle into some scripture in a minute. I just want to read these verses to us. This is from Romans and chapter 1. And again, it just says this. I'm going to pick this verse out in verse 16. And so, this is the Apostle Paul writing to these people. And he says this, for, just let this speak to you. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel. The gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, that men and women might be saved, that they need a savior, a rescuer, and his name is Jesus. And I am not ashamed of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Unto salvation. Amen? Come on. This is good. The power of the gospel unto salvation. It's wonderful. And you read through these different verses that I've just highlighted, and you hear this, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel, the wonderful news of Jesus Christ and his victory at the cross, how he overcame sin and death and separation from God, and now all may, through faith in him, be cleansed from sin and begin to live a life worth living. Amen. Through the power of the gospel. We've been singing about this morning. And it's good, and I want to highlight it for us. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed, and we say this together, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Unto salvation. And God has a big heart for those who need to hear the gospel. And we all continue to need to hear the gospel. And it kind of impacts us in different ways and at different times. But the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to do something for us now. You know, when I first started coming to City Church, so that's when it first started with a few other people. And when I first started coming to City Church, I was a Christian. I knew Jesus. And he had impacted and changed my life completely. Completely. I was a Christian. So what I want to do for us this morning, this is a brave move. Watch this. If you were a Christian when you first started coming to City Church, I want you to put your hand up. That's most of us. You can put your hand down again now. That's most of us. God's going to do something about that. He is. He's going to change that proportion of people. That there might be more and more and more people who weren't already a Christian when they first started coming to City Church, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hear the word of the Lord. Wonderful. Some of you are thinking, oh, Matt, it's about time. But it's good. It's good. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And God has more for us. What he has done is rich and good and wonderful. But what he has, I believe, is even more. Even more. And I love you all. But God, you know, there's a company of people who currently aren't here this morning, that God is calling to this church, to his church, to gather with his people. And they don't yet know him. They haven't yet been impacted by the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they're coming. They're coming. They're coming. God has a plan. I'm going to read something to us. I read this in a prayer time that we had a little while ago, and it's just really come back to my attention, and I want to read it to us. And again, this thought, this verse, I really believe is a now thing for us, and I'm going to give it to us in a particular way, but we'll just read it. To start with, and this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and again, I'm just going to have to break into this. And he's coming to the end of writing to this church. He says this, finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified just as it did also with you. And this verse, and again, this heart, and he's saying to the people, pray for us. Why? Pray for us that the word of the Lord might spread rapidly. There's another version that you read that same verse, and it says this, pray for us that the gospel might run. Do you like that? I do. Pray for us that the gospel, here it is, the gospel. Pray for us that the gospel might run. Do you know what I think the Lord wants to be stirring in us? All of this really is an encouragement. It's intended to be an exhortation for us as a church this morning. But this is it. That for us as a church, that the Lord has this for us, City Church, that the gospel would run. That the gospel would run. That it would run unhindered, in a sense, unimpeded. That it would just run. Do you know that the gospel can run? We'll get on to what I mean by that in a minute. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, God can come and move and speak, and it's like the gospel runs and impacts and changes people's lives, and they're never the same again. Pray for us. Pray for us, City Church. Pray for us. Why? That the gospel might run. That the gospel might run. That the lost may be found. That the broken may be healed, that the lonely may be in family. Pray for us. Pray for us that the gospel might run. The power of God unto salvation may spread rapidly, may have unhindered way, that the gospel may run. I'm going to just highlight something for us in this vein. And it's really got my attention, and just seeing the Lord in it. This is Acts and chapter 8, and I'm not really going to be able to do this justice at all. We're going to have to just move through it fairly quickly, but I encourage you to read around it, these chapters, chapter 8 particularly. But we're just going to look at this. We find this account of Philip. So we're going to be thinking about him. Before this, with this, the context of this is that in chapter 7, Stephen has been killed. It's been witnessed by the church in Jerusalem, the people, that Stephen has been killed. Saul, at that time, the Bible uses pretty evocative language sometimes, and he was wreaking havoc. Saul, he was wreaking havoc in the church as it begins. And there is much persecution, and the church is scattered. And again, I'm just going to have to move through this passage, but please read it. The church is scattered from Jerusalem throughout Judea and Samaria as a consequence. And Saul is going into houses and he's dragging off men and women. This is the context of what we're about to talk about. He's dragging off men and women and he's putting them in prison. Persecution is going on. Do you know that within the context of persecution, and we're not looking for this, but I'm just highlighting the obvious, within the context of persecution, even there, the gospel can run. And I want to encourage us in this, because within the context of our culture and our environment, persecution looks really different, but let me tell you, it's real. It's real, but know this, within our context and within our culture, the gospel can run. And there is something in the heart of God that we are overhearing, and it's this, that the gospel might run. For you, not just in the book of Acts, but for you, for us, for the church in this country, in this city, and in this place, that the gospel might run. Within your time, within your culture, within your context, it doesn't matter. The power of God unto salvation, the gospel can run. And there's persecution going on in this previous, in this chapter and in the previous chapters. And in verse 4, those who have been scattered because of persecution, those who were scattered, what did they do? It's incredible this. You'd think they'd be a bit depressed and fed up. Within this context, within this reality, what did they do? They were scattered and they went about preaching the gospel. It's like, are you boys looking for trouble? They went about preaching the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And they went about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And let me tell you, his church, they've been doing it ever since. Wonderful. Preaching the gospel. And Philip, we find this guy Philip. Philip went to the city of Samaria. Changed its name apparently at this point, but in Samaria, city of Samaria, and he began proclaiming Christ. Start there. Philip began proclaiming Christ in this place. We're going to have to keep moving. Philip went there. And men and women received the word of God from Philip. They received the word of God and they were baptized real quick. He went there, scattered. He preached the gospel. He preached Jesus. Men and women, they received that message and they were baptized. Wow. Wow, it's wonderful. We're going to keep moving through this. Men and women received the word of God. Verse 14, the apostles in Jerusalem, they heard that the people of Samaria had started getting saved. And Peter and John came for a visit to see what was going on. So somehow, back there in Jerusalem, they heard, word had got to them, and they thought, we're going to have a look. And they went. And they went, and they got there. And it's all these people, it says in one of these verses, you get this impression that he preached in that place, and it's like it's almost like this, that the city moved to the gospel. It's like men and women. It wasn't just like one or two, but men and women in the city. It's like they moved to the gospel and were impacted by the gospel, and they were baptized. And Peter and John come along, and they pray for them. They come and get involved, And they pray for them that they would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they laid hands on them and prayed for them. And they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do what you like with that theologically, but it's here in the text. It's wonderful. And they came and they preached the gospel. And when they arrived, they started praying. They were seeing people receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 25 and 26, we find that they're on their way back to Jerusalem. And they were preaching the gospel as they went in many villages. It says this, you can read it, verse 25, verse 26. And they came into this context of them continuing to preach the gospel in the places that they happened to be. Can I put it like that? They moved from where they were, they went into other villages, and they continued to preach the gospel. It's like they don't run out of preaching the gospel. They move from one place to another place, and wherever they happen to be, at any given time, they preach the gospel. They preach the gospel. They preach Jesus to the people. And they're seeing that the gospel, I think the gospel is running. It's running. And that, so they're moving back to Jerusalem. They're continuing to preach the gospel. It's like revival is breaking out and going on. Wherever they go, people are responding to the message of the gospel. And then we find this. An angel shows up. Like, what is going on? An angel shows up in this context and speaks to Philip. It says, Philip, into this wonderful context of revival, I've got a job for you. Could you go to the desert? Philip responds. I mean, an angel showed up and gave him a word directly from the Lord. I reckon he's taking notice. And he goes and he says, go to this along this certain road and go there. So he goes there and he meets this guy, this Ethiopian man. It's wonderful. He meets this Ethiopian guy, Philip. And this Ethiopian man, he's a court official. He's a treasurer to the queen of Ethiopia. And he's reading the book of Isaiah. And he invites Philip to explain it to him. And Philip, what does he do? Come on, you're getting the message at this point. He preaches the gospel. He preaches the gospel to this man, this wonderful man of Ethiopia. And he preaches to him. And he, this man, he receives the word, he believes with all his heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and he gets baptized at the earliest possible convenience. Can you hear the gospel is running through this account, through these lives, through these people? It's like the gospel is running. It's running. And then this Ethiopian man, having responded, such a beautiful heart, this guy. Just responds with all his heart. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let's get baptized. Are you up for that? Come on. And he gets baptized. And then, do you know what it says? We referred to this a few minutes ago. This fella from Ethiopia, he goes on his way rejoicing. He goes on his way rejoicing. And let me tell you, he took that rejoicing to Africa. He did. He took it to Ethiopia. He took it to where he'd come from and was returning to. And do you know what he would have done? Undoubtedly, in my mind, he would have preached the gospel. Because his life would have preached the gospel. That's what happens when you go on your way rejoicing. And people are like, man, what has happened to this guy? What has happened to him? And he preaches the gospel. And he goes to Ethiopia. And it's just like, do you know what I think went on from there? It's like the gospel continued to run. The gospel continued to run. Wonderful. Wonderful. After this, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, catches Philip away. He'd kind of done his job where he was. It says the Holy Spirit caught him away and he sets him down in a place, another place called Azotus or something like that. And he preaches the gospel there. Oh, what a surprise. He preaches the gospel there and then he moves on up to Caesarea, preaching in all the towns on the way and seeing people receive the gospel. I don't know what you think, but I think that the gospel can run. Do you know what? I honestly think that the gospel can run in Chester. And I think God wants the gospel to run in Chester. We've got a map. Let's have a little look at this map. It's helpful. Let's just make a point. Look at this. So this is his journey. He starts up there in Samaria, and he comes down this desert road near Gaza, and he meets the Ethiopian. He talks to him. He continues to go south, goes through into Egypt, keeps down into Ethiopia. At that point, then Philip, and he starts going back up to where he came, well, not to where he came from, but he starts to go back north. So the Ethiopian, he's going south, and he's preaching the gospel. And the gospel is running, I believe. And then Philip, he starts to go north again. And he goes through these towns on the way. And he ends up back in Caesar, well, not back where he came from, but he ends up in Caesarea where he seemed to settle. But he goes through these towns, these villages on the way. And one of the things that I think you can see really clearly through this, and for me this image is quite helpful, just in the way that he journeyed and what he did, and that he goes back up, and everywhere he goes, and he passes through a town, and it says, and he preached the gospel. And so everywhere he went, people seemed to respond to the gospel. And the gospel was running. Thanks, we can get rid of that. But it's helpful. And Philip, this is a journey that he went on in his life in response to God. And God was moving. And the gospel was being preached. And it was like it was running. It's almost like, if I can put it like this, it's kind of like it had an energy and a vibrancy and a movement, and Philip was going with it, and the gospel was running, and he was running with it. Can I put it like that? He was running with it. And here it is. Are you ready to run? Some of you are thinking, Matt, Flip, like, I'm a bit tired, to be honest. It's like, I've got enough jobs to do. But listen, when the gospel begins to run, you can run with the gospel. Honestly, you might have got this idea, but I'm quite excited about this coming year. I am. I'm not just doing this for show. Like, I actually am. I think that the Lord wants to move in a new way as for us as a church, as a company of people. And that will be demonstrated by the fact that there will be more people who have come here who did not previously know Jesus. And I honestly believe that there are people here within this church currently who are really key to that. People. And so we need, as a church, as a company of people, to embrace, if I can say this, to embrace this message, this heart, this awareness of the moment of God's moving. And engage. Engage. And this isn't a plug for, like, could you do more? It's not about that. There is, in the heart of people already here, a heart that the gospel would run. There is. And I just want you to know that I've noticed. I hear your heart. You're removing to the Lord your heart for the city, my heart for the city, this collective growing of God. And it's like, guys, let's run with the gospel. There will be some practical application of this at different times. But let's run. Let's have a heart to run and to run with the gospel. You know, it seems to me we still live in the book of Acts. Amen. We do. I know it's hard for us in this country because you think, mate, are you sure? But really, really, we still live in the book of Acts. We still live in a time where the gospel is running, is advancing, and people, men and women, are being rescued by Jesus. They are being rescued by Jesus. You know, in China, in India, in parts of Africa, in Iran, God is moving in powerful ways. And you look at those situations and you have contact with different places around the world and you look on and you think, man, it's like the gospel is running in that place. And I have heard these stories and these accounts of the gospel running in nations around the world. And we live here in Britain. And you know what? There is a holy dissatisfaction in me. I believe that in this country, in our nation, that God would have the gospel run. Run. And without apology. And that men and women who are lost in their secular worldview and all the disintegration that that brings, that within that context, the gospel could run. And that's the heart of God. And he wants the gospel to run, and he wants us to run with the gospel. It's wonderful. As we move into this year, I want us all to be reminded of the power of the gospel. And that as a church, we will use old ways and new to preach the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ and to see the lost found and the broken healed and the bound released. Oh, it's time. It's time for the gospel to run and to run through you and me as we engage together, as we fellowship together, as we partner together in the gospel. That's worth being together for, isn't it? To partner together in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and to see broken lives made all new. That's the power of the gospel. To make lives all new. And I want to encourage us all, because it is for all of us, to engage for the gospel. This is not for specialists, this is for everyone. It really is, and we need everyone. Everyone in our different spheres of influence and activity and involvement in the city, in work, in family, in different places, wherever we are, that we engage together for the gospel. That men and women who currently don't know Jesus come to know Jesus. I know this is simple, but we've got something to grow in, don't we? We do. We have something to grow in, and we have something to grow in together. And my heart for us for this year, whether it's Sunday school, whether it's City Tots, City Youth, Oak Grange, anything else that we do, whether it's an Easter service, whether it's curry nights, whatever it is that the gospel might run. This is why we do what we do, that the gospel might run and that men and women will go on their way rejoicing because of the life-changing power of the gospel. Has the gospel changed your life? Come on. Has the gospel changed your life? Yes. Yes. Completely. Completely. And the heart of God is that those lives whom he has already changed would go out and would be used to change other lives. And that those lives would go on their way rejoicing. And that those lives would impact other lives. And they will go on their way rejoicing. And the kingdom will be extended. The kingdom of God will be extended in this way. It's wonderful. This year we want to have, calling it this, we might change the name. This year we want to have missional Sundays where people who have not been to church before, never even heard the gospel, can come, feel welcome, and find out what Christianity is all about. Simple thing to do, isn't it? It's just like, if you don't know and you'd like to, come and have a look. This is a specific thing for you. That will require engagement from all of us. Do you know why? Because we will need to talk to people, know people who don't know Jesus, and talk to them and invite them and use it as a moment, as an opportunity. I'm excited about this. It's like people who don't know Jesus could come to know Jesus because of you and me. I know this has been said before. It's not rocket science. But we need to be engaged for the gospel together. And to do what we can, we will need to be creative. We will need to think into this. We will need to make suggestions, maybe challenge some stuff. It's just like, it's all open. It's all open that we together might engage for the gospel. Here's a simple vision. We want the baptistry to get wet often. Oh, man. We do. We do. It hasn't been out for a while. But there's a heart for men and women who don't know Jesus. And we need to run with the gospel. We need to run with the gospel. And we need a baptistry that gets wet often. Simple people respond to the message of the gospel. And like that Ethiopian man, they say, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Get wet. Get baptized. As a demonstration of that which has taken place in your life, and go and spread the gospel. Are we hearing the Lord this morning? Not just these words, but hearing the Lord this morning. I want to do something. I don't really usually do this sort of thing, but can we have that verse back up? It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." We'll put it up here. I want us to do this together. We're not just reading words. This is a declaration. We're going to read this, and I would like us to all read it. It's not compulsory, but if you'd like to, I would like us to all read this together out loud. Simple thing. You up for that? Ready? For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's everybody. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Pray. In our engagement, in our running, pray for us. Do you know what I noticed when I was thinking about this, praying about this? So I just want to take this moment. There are people here this morning, and you're hearing the sound of my voice. And some of you are praying that the gospel might run already. I know that you are. Some of you know how to pray. And you pray and pray that the gospel might run. I want to tell you, God is hearing your prayers. He is. He is. God is hearing your prayers. And I want to encourage us all to pray. And to pray that the gospel might run. Amen. Amen. Pete, we're going to sing again. It's wonderful. And I'm going to pray for us. We can sing together and lift our hearts to the Lord in expectancy of Him, not of our working harder or trying more, but of Him and His gospel, and of our embrace of Him and His gospel, and that He would extend His kingdom through the preaching of His word in all sorts of different ways. Lord Jesus, I thank You this morning for Your faithfulness. I thank You that You continue to lead us and we delight to follow after you. And Lord, we just want to receive together what you're speaking to us at this time and in this moment, and we embrace that which you do, that which you are, that which you are doing. We embrace you, we embrace your word. And as a collective of faith, as a company of people, we agree together for your gospel, for you, for who you are, and for the way that you will extend your kingdom through our lives. We embrace you and your word in this moment. I thank you that you are the one who speaks, and we overhear your speaking, and then we move with you, and we are hearing the sound of your voice. And there is something in our hearts, Lord, that is ready to run. Take us forward, I pray, in these coming weeks and months and years together, that we would be a people who will continue to run with the gospel, that we wouldn't arrive in a place and settle there and become used to that context and an environment, but we would get up and we would go again. And we would go again with you, that we would run with you. And as a consequence of our running with you, you will extend your kingdom. Bless your name. Bless your name. We hear your heart this morning. We hear your heart for this nation and for this city, for our family, for our friends. We hear you and the sound of your voice. And we agree together that we will partner together in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.